Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Hi, everybody. Today we'll talk with the director of a living history museum in Maine that preserves equipment used to develop the state's logging industry. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear, because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session each month. For more information, check out www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Sherry Davis is the director of the Maine Forest and Logging Museum, which is located just outside of Bangor, Maine. She is looking for volunteer work campers to live on site and open the various buildings and staff the gift shop whenever the museum is open. They also help keep the grounds clean and in good shape. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, other volunteers arrive to demonstrate the equipment and explain how it would be used in logging operations. So Sherry likes to have the gift shop open on those days. Sherry describes the history of the museum and types of equipment it has on display. She also explains how other work campers have assisted the museum in the past. The museum offers a flexible work schedule, and Sherry is appreciative of any help she can get. It is a rustic location, so there are not a lot of amenities. Electricity is available by generator, but the park is installing solar power this year, which work campers can tap into rather than using their own generators. Waste is dumped into portable containers, which are then dumped inside outhouses. Like I said, it's a rustic location reminiscent of an old logging camp, yet it's only 20 minutes from Bangor, which is a city of about 32,000 people. To tell us more about the opportunity, please welcome Sherry Davis, the director of the Maine Forest and Logging Museum, to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Sherry. Tell us about the Maine Forest and Logging Museum. What do you guys do?
We are sort of a living history museum where we try to demonstrate a lot of what life was like in a colonial logging village, and then also what it might be like in the early 1900s. So we have a recreated village about 1790-1800 with a water-powered sawmill, covered bridge, blacksmith shop. And so we do events where we have reenactors come and just demonstrate a lot of things. So we run the sawmill, but we also have people camping out and kind of showing what life was like in the settlement area.
So, and then it's like a living history museum.
Yeah. So it's mostly, it's a volunteer-based place. So I'm the director and I have a little bit of office help, but everything else that happens is with volunteers. So we manage to do a number of volunteer events each year. This year's our spring ones, unfortunately, had to be canceled, but in the summer and fall, we try to get people out there to see all these things that we have in action. So the water-powered sawmill, but we also have a rotary sawmill. So our 1900s area has a rotary sawmill, shingle mill. We're rebuilding a clapboard mill. And we also have this machine called the Lombard Log Hauler, which is the very first machine used in the woods. It was invented in Waterville, Maine, and it's the first continual lag treaded vehicle. So it was a huge invention. It's the granddaddy of all bulldozers and tanks. And it had skis on front and these great big lag treads on the back to get out there in the winter in the woods on iced roads, and it could haul like 300 tons of wood at a time. So we actually have a restored one. They were invented in 1900. And so, you know, a real big feature of our events is running that, and some later gas ones are from the late 1920s. So people really love our technology.
Yeah, I can imagine. It gives them a glimpse of what it was like to actually pull those logs out of the forest way back when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really revolutionary. So it's kind of a neat museum in that, you know, we have this early sense of what it might have been in a community where you would be bringing, you know, with an oxen hauling logs to a water power sawmill, and the scale that might be in an operation. And then when you get up to 1900, in Maine, logging exploded, of course, in the 1800s, and Bangor, Maine was, you know, like the lumber capital of the world. As they moved more and more lumber that was close to bodies of water with the river jars and things, they wanted to get deeper into the woods. And it's kind of, you know, doing that by horse uses a lot of horses, for one thing. So the huge leap in technology in 1900 with the invention of the Lombard log hauler really opened up the North Maine woods to logging, and then deeper and deeper into the woods where you could transport logs. And this was all done in the winter on iced roads. So transporting tons and tons, well, just millions and millions of board feet still to bodies of water. And then the famous river drives in Maine were still happening up until the 1970s. So, so people that want to live at our museum, mm-hmm. are people who are just, well, interested in history, I think. We have had our volunteers who have lived in the museum. We want volunteers to help keep our gift shop open. It's a pretty low key kind of place when we have these big events, but then the rest of the time, you know, we just have people wander in and find us, but it's not a massive place. We're mm-hmm. out in the woods.
It's not a Disneyland.
Definitely not. we have had people been very complimentary about it. They say they like it better than, you know, some well-known bigger places, because we are very hands-on. And when we're open, and then local people can get involved, and hopefully our RV people, if they want to actually run some of this machinery, or we have a lot of things in storage. We've been expanding our display space, so we're hauling things that have been in, you know, our big, we have a huge 5-bay garage full of stuff, and we're hauling those things out and restoring them. So people who are interested in, you know, tinkering up machines, old machines, everything's old. we need help just keeping the gift shop open, so that we can have the buildings open. In the past, we didn't really, people can go out there all the time. It's open daily for walks. So we have some hiking trails. People could just drive up and walk around. But they can't get into any buildings unless there's a person there. So we have a volunteer crew that comes every week on Tuesday. We call them the Tuesday crew. It's 10 to 14 guys there every week who are working on all of our maintenance, our grounds maintenance, our building maintenance, restoring all the artifacts. Basically, they do everything that needs to be done out there. And it's a great collection of knowledge that they have. Like three of them worked on the railroad. One was an engineer, conductor. They have a lot of mechanical ability. One is a retired engineering professor. Actually, two of them that come. We also have a belt-driven machine shop. So one of them is kind of in charge of that, and the other one's in charge of like the Lombard log hauler and all of that that's related to that. That's a steam machine, by the way. And other volunteers, you know, a large truck mechanic, you know, they have a lot of ability and knowledge. So they they come out and how they basically make it all happen. And then, so anybody who comes to live on site can work on any projects that they want to, because there's new building renovations. We're in the middle of restoring the clapboard mill, which is a big project. And then, like the lemonade stand has to be rebuilt, and just a lot of maintenance things, like because the recreated part of the museum, the village, was started in the 1980s. And so we have maintenance to do on those. And we have a lot of structures. We have like a saw pit, and we have walkways over the stream, this Blackman stream that we're on, smokehouses, beanhole, bean pits, all kinds of different structures that need attention here and there.
So it sounds like it'd be a great opportunity for a couple, because one person can be working in the gift shop and the other person can be out helping with the maintenance and answering questions of guests as they're walking around looking at the displays.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I mean, it's, probably maybe ideal, although we're very happy. First part of this summer, we have a single woman coming, and I think, it'll be great to have her. So we're happy either way, but, obviously if it's a couple, one can be doing one thing and the other doing the other thing.
Where are you located?
And we're flexible about how we work out hours and stuff. It is obviously volunteer. Everything out there is. but we can, work around how that will work best. The very first couple we had, we were clueless. And I thought, I made arrangements with a campground just down the street to, have them go over there and offload waste and stuff. And, we just really didn't know how to do this. And what it worked out that they just, they were very conservative making waste because we use the outhouses and the caretaker's house. We don't have anybody living in, but does have a bathroom. So they just actually just stayed on site and did tons of stuff. And then for about 10 days, and then they went away for a long weekend because they were trying to have camped in all kinds of different places. So they went up to New Brunswick for a long weekend and went down to New Hampshire, I think, for a long weekend. The other two couples who came, they did not actually want to, they just wanted to park. And then they just stayed on site. They would do day trips or something. So they weren't as interested. They just wanted to kind of park and just live here and, see local sites and stuff. So we're very flexible about how we work out any kind of schedule that way.
Okay. And so how long have you guys been using work campers? It's only been a couple of years then, right?
Yeah, we had last summer we didn't have anybody. We had someone lined up who had a family crisis, basically the day they were supposed to arrive. And I hadn't been able to find someone for the beginning of the summer. And then when they should have arrived and had to cancel, just with things that were going on, I didn't have time to spend a lot. I think I probably did another ad with, RV work camper, but I didn't find anybody to replace them. Which was, it was a disappointment because it had been, very, very helpful for us. We don't have anybody living on site. In the past we did, but we found it, part of that was, actually expensive for us because, this museum's a mile and a quarter down a dirt road, which is not plowed in the winter unless we plow it. So if we have someone living there year round as a caretaker, we have a lot of expense in terms of, we do plow the road, but now we sort of do it, when it absolutely has to be done. when people are working, living, the people living on site, we're actually working off site, and So you had to have do a lot of plowing. 1 year it costs $4,000 just to keep the place plowed out. So,
oh my.
So
you're on the sticks, but you're about 20 miles or 20 minutes from Bangor or Brewer.
Yeah, Bangor.
Brewer.
Bangor.
Is it Bangor?
And Brewer.
Okay. Got it. There it is. Super.
Yeah. It's, so we're, the property itself is, we're out there in the woods off the grid. People will have to, well, we have a pump and we have electricity. We're installing solar, but we also use a generator. Right now we use a generator to pump water into a cistern and then gravity feed it. But we're setting up solar so we can more directly pump, so we can pump water into the RV. And we have to use a Blue Boy to offload into a tank in one of our outhouses. And then the solar should get set up so we could help with recharging batteries or something. But if someone is really dependent on a generator, I mean, they would have to listen to a generator. Because the nearest telephone pole is about at least half a mile away.
Can you get cell signal there?
No, U.S. Cellular works fine. We do have, for our gift shop, we have a hotspot that we use to connect our tablets and stuff to.
Okay. So you do
most phones work fine, but some people that were from Chicago had a particular brand of phone that they had difficulty when they were right in the middle of the museum. They had to be at a certain spots for theirs to work.
Okay. Is this a paid or volunteer position?
It's volunteer, just like everything else out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's
how many hours a week are you typically looking for?
It's hard to even define that. I mean, the thing, looking at just the gift shop, if we just look at just the gift shop, a few days, like if they could have it open, well, we try to aim for 10 to 4. We've been keeping it open 1 day a week on Thursdays from 10 to 4. If we could add a few more days, like over the weekend, it's a very flexible thing. I read all the information about specific kind of hours or like what is the expectation. The people who have been out there so far, they're just there. So they're there and they just have the buildings open. They don't have to be doing a certain number of hours of like a mowing or whatever. It's kind of like our main goal is to have some help keeping the gift shop open, and anything else they feel like doing, we love.
Okay.
So it's,
so they're
that sounds very vague, but it's,
they're basically doing their own thing.
Right.
Great. Okay.
If they're on the property, then they can, keep the buildings open. So, and if people wander in, like pretty much every day, you could have someone come out there, but.
Okay. So it's a very flexible position in that there are no set hours, no set schedules, no real expectations. It's just that you'd like to have the gift shop open every now and again. And you'd like the people to be able to answer questions for guests who come to visit the museum.
Well, have fun, because honestly, the crew out there, they have a lot of fun. We had one person who was a photographer, so he did a lot of photography, and he created, we used some of his photography. He did a photography class for us. One guy has a business with drones. So, he did some, made some films for us that way. And so each couple that has come have participated in whatever, like their time isn't tied up with, you have to do some set number of hours. If there's a volunteer out there and they want to work with them. The first couple who came in their Airstream, they really spoiled us, because they have volunteered all over the country, working at all kinds of places, and they basically just want to help. So we walked around the first day they came, and I just kind of threw out, well, this is the situation we're in. This is all volunteer, and you can see that we have projects. Do whatever you feel like doing. And the wife painted out virtually the whole caretaker's house, because we're trying to renovate that to also eventually have like maybe student interns in. She painted that out. Well, they both worked on our new visitor center, staining the walls. And so basically I could hardly keep up with them, because they would finish a project and then we're going to start on this. Mm-hmm. and then they would knock off at about 4 o'clock and go find a brew pub. So they were actually, being the first couple we had out there, we didn't do the gift shop part. We were keeping it open one day a week with local volunteers, but they just wanted to help us with whatever they could. So
do the people, do your volunteers or the work campers, are they operating the machinery as well? Like the mill and the lumber?
Yeah, they can learn how to do work with it. We don't, it depends on timing when they're there. If they're there for an event, they could drive the Lombard log hauler or something. And I think the guys have learned how to run the water power. So, I've worked with volunteers, and so they can participate in whatever they have. And then if they have skills that they want to share, that, say somebody was like a blacksmith, I mean, they could demonstrate. We're hoping to have this year, because we had to cancel a number of events because of this situation. We're hoping to have, if we have an RV person in place and the gift shop open and the building's open, then we can say, on this day and this day we're having a blacksmith, this day we're having, this happening. So when the volunteers, the work guy, the crew is there on Tuesdays, a lot of those guys actually come other days as well to work on projects. So there's people coming and going, working on things. But if we can have specific times where someone is specifically demonstrating in the blacksmith shop or something like that. So if anybody who comes has some particular skill that they'd love to share, that's great too. Any kind of.
Are there any special skills and qualifications that people need?
The gift shop, you just have to not be afraid of technology. it's a tiny little gift shop, but we are, the volunteer who runs it has figured out like a SKU system, like a number system. So everything's skewed, but it's on a tablet. So we have a hooked up, with a hotspot, and we just use a tablet, and we can take credit cards for the first time now that we've got that system. So that's about as technical as it gets. And then any kind of, handyman skills, because there's things to paint, stain, hammer, saw, rake. We have a garden. So there's just your general kinds of maintenance things are nothing extraordinary in terms of skill. And we're not, when I look at RV, the work camper resumes, some people have like amazing resumes for things like HVAC or something, which, we're off the grid. We don't have a lot of stuff. But then on the other hand, sometimes we need our generators tinkered up and things like that. So
how many work campers do you hire a year then?
We've been doing them for about 2 months apart, a piece. So trying to basically split the summer from June and July, whatever works for people. But right now I have someone for June, July, and then I would need somebody for August and September. Our season actually, and the first weekend in October is our largest event where we our Living History Days. So that's we ideally would have someone who would stay at least till that was over. Depends on how cold October gets, how fast we kind of start shutting down. We're very seasonal that way. In May, we usually are up and running in May with children's programming, but that's all canceled for this year. And so we generally would be having an event the end of June, and that one we're not going to try and schedule, but we're still hoping for the end of July, and then the big one being the first weekend in October. So if we can have someone who could stay, till October 10th or something.
And then that's about the time that you close the facility for the winter season.
Yeah, because all the buildings, we only have even a couple of the buildings even have wood stoves. And so I sometimes do school tours into October, but even by October 15th, sometimes it can just be pretty cold.
What kind of commitment are you looking for? You want them to agree to be there the entire summer or just for a month or two at a time?
We could do it either way. The person I have coming for June and July this year, has committed for June and July. So if I could have some in July through October, but in the future, if we had somebody who wanted to commit to the whole summer, that'd be great. One couple we had came in May and was going to spend the summer, the entire summer. May is really buggy in Maine. We have bugs called black flies, which are really unpleasant. So they did come and they stuck it out. I mean, I warned them, but it was, just worked out in terms of their logistics to just come. And they were helpful because we do have children program in that month. But then that ended up being an extraordinarily hot summer. And although they had planned on spending the summer, they found that they couldn't get, they needed to run the generator at night, which was getting really tiresome. So they gave me plenty of warning that they had decided to just end it at the end of July. And I was able to find somebody to, come in right after them. And so that worked out, and the other couple stayed the rest of the season. So
if people wanted more information about this opportunity, where could they find it?
Our website is, Maine Forest and Logging Museum.org, www. My email, info, at Maine Forest and Logging Museum.org. It's all spelled out, even the and. And then directly, my phone number is 207-974-6278. And they can just talk to me.
Wonderful. And there's a lot of information on your website, so people can get a good flavor about what you do and the types of displays and exhibits that you have. And so there they can get even more information. That's good.
Yeah, and if they're, they like YouTube, Professor Herb Crosby, who's the engineering professor, he's retired and he's the president of our board. He makes a YouTube movie nearly every week that we have, of the volunteers. So if you look for Herb Crosby's YouTube channel, and you can get links on our website. And if you just Google things like, we're also known as Leonard's Mills, but Google the Lombard Log Hauler or Living History Days. Or Maine, just Google us. You'll come to some links. There's lots of movies about our events and about things that happen. And I think there are even actually a couple that are past RV campers made.
Okay.
You know, we're interviewed. So, and I think there are links on the website to that.
Very good. So, well, thank you so much, Sherry. I really appreciate the description. And it sounds like a good opportunity for somebody who doesn't mind remote living and working on your own. And so if people want that information, they should check out the website and reach out to you and set up an interview.
Great. I look forward to talking to some people because it's kind of a different, I think, because it's not so cut and dried specifically, like this is exactly what we want you to do for exactly this number of hours. But people who want to just, you know, kind of live somewhere and participate and are interested in, you know, history and just generally being helpful.
Very good.
We would really appreciate the help.
Super. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Sherry Davis for coming on the show to tell us more about the volunteer positions available at the Maine Forest and Logging Museum. It sounds like a very low-key position that would be ideal for a self-starter who appreciates flexibility. There are no set hours, no set schedule, and no real expectations. The work campers just need to ensure the gift shop is open from time to time and be able to answer questions for guests who visit the museum. If you have construction skills or are good at sprucing things up, Sherry would be especially appreciative of any contribution you could make to improving the facility. Sounds like the museum could also use someone who is skilled in electricity to help repair generators or enhance their electrical system. These are short-term positions lasting only a month or two, but the flexibility of hours work to ensure that you have plenty of time to explore one of the prettiest states in America. You'd basically be boondocking with some access to electricity, water, and the ability to dump tanks. However, Wi-Fi service is available at the gift shop. If you'd like to spend some time in New England and have a place to park your rig while you explore the area, then I'd encourage you to reach out to Sherry Davis at info@maineforestandloggingmuseum.org or by calling her at 207-974-6278. Work Camper News, a magazine and online publication, connects our viewers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it is running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. This episode was sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all for today's show. Next time, we'll talk with a doctor who is an RVer himself and has come with an affordable way to get healthcare while on the road. I'm sure you'll find his ideas on consumer-driven healthcare to be very interesting. We'll talk about it on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.